the dispersion, the time, and the deliverance. March 22, 1947, by the Vitti Hara. Okay, this is a sermon from Isaiah 31:1-4. Woe unto them that go down into Egypt for the help, and stay on the horses and trust in the chariot, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One, Yahshua, the Son, as the Holy One of Israel. Now they seek the Yahweh, the Father. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his word, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, and not the Yahweh. And their horses are flesh, and not the spirit. When the Yahshua shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail or fall together. Or maybe it's, yeah. For thus hath the Yahshua spoken unto me, like as a lion, and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of the shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, of the host, come down from the heaven to fight for the Mount Zion at the 12th hour. Judah, tribe of Judah, house of the purified house of the antipathical David, that would be Elijah David, and for the hill thereof. Though the Yahshua permitted his ancient kingdom to be taken by the Gentiles, this scripture shows that he will soon deliver the kingdom, the antitypical kingdom. Not only will he deliver his people and Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the Elgin Texas, but he will defend them too. Isaiah 31:5-6. As a bird flying, so will the Yahshua, as the Holy One of Israel, the Son of the Yahweh, defend the Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver Jerusalem, and passing over Jerusalem, he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted, having now come unto the time of their deliverance. The Yahshua is pleading with his people to turn unto him for the reform. Isaiah 31:7, for in that day every man shall cast away his idols of the silver and his idols of the gold that which your own hand have made unto you for a sin. For the turning unto him, he explained, is by the casting away of the every idol when such great revival and reformation takes place among the Yahweh's people? For he continues, Isaiah 31:8-9, then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man, shall devour him, that he shall flee from the sword, and the young man shall be disinherited, and he shall pass over unto his stronghold for the fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign that is made up of the Yashur, the son of Yahweh, and the answer for Elijah David, that the Yashur has come down from heaven to join in the 12th and last parabolic hour in the judgment of the living, harvest of the earth, resurrection of all the dead, secured back to Israel and back to Adam and Eve, for the raising up of the many generations. It's Yahweh, whose power is in Zion, in Mount Zion at the 12th hour, tribe of Judah, house of David, and his furnace is in the Jerusalem, in the land of Israel. Because of the idolatry, the Assyrian was permitted for the taking of Yahweh's ancient people and their present land. And certain it is that the Assyrian will control the land just so long as Yahweh's people continue in the idolatry. But just as soon as all their idols are cast aside, yes, just as soon as the great revival and reformation takes place in the hearts of the people, then the Assyrian, the power that now rules them, shall certainly fall, and the Yahweh's people shall just as certainly return. This is Yahshua's people that he redeemed by his blood. For the Assyrian shall thus fall, not at the sword of a mighty man, and not of a mean man, but through the voice of the Yashur shall the Assyrian be beaten down, that smote with a rod. Isaiah 32:1-8, behold, a king shall reign in the righteousness, and princes shall rule in the judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. For the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. For the vile person shall no more be called liberal, nor the churl said to be the bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, for the practicing of the hypocrisy, and for the uttering of the error against the Yashua, for the making empty of the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. For the instruments also of the churl are evil, for he devises the wicked devices for the destroying of the poor with the lying words, even when the needy speaketh right, but the liberal devises liberal things, and by the liberal things shall he stand. turn again unto his ancient people for the inspiration to church, that though their kingdom was doomed to fail, yet one day a king shall reign in righteousness. This would be antithetical David in the 12th parabolic hour in the last days, and princes shall rule in the judgment. That in that day a man shall be as an hiding place, as water in a dry place, and as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 32:2. That though the people were spiritually blind and could not see, yet there is a day coming, and those who have eyes shall clearly see, and those who have ears shall plainly hear, that the heart of the rush shall then understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer be ready to speak plainly, that the vile person shall then be recognized as the vile, and the churl shall no more be called bountiful, that the vile person and the hypocrite shall be known as those who speak error against Yahweh, and who endeavor for the creating of the spiritually hungry and thirsty soul, that on the other hand will be seen to be those who devise wicked means by which to make the poor ever poorer. Isaiah 32:9-14. Rise up, you women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye churlish daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye churlish women, for the vintage shall fail. The gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird a sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the tents, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine upon the land of my people shall come up the thorns and the briars, yea, upon all the houses of the joy and the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and the towers shall be forbidden forever as joy of the wild ashes, a pasture of the flock, for the woman here referred to, or I said, for the women here referred to, are doubtless Ahola and Aholabah, for the Ezekiel, with the Ezekiel 23. For the figurative names of the Judah and Israel. So that's Ahola is for Judah, and Aholabah is for Israel. Here is described their dispersion among the Gentiles, the punishment which they were to bear. For the high and the wilderness be a... Let's do this again. Isaiah 32:15. until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Here we are told that the people are to be among the Gentiles, and the land remain desolate until the Spirit be poured upon them from on high. Then will they return. For we have now already seen the reason for the dispersion, and that the pouring of the Spirit marks the people's deliverance. Yes, then no longer will their land be in the captivity, no longer will their houses be desolate. Even the wilderness shall become a fruitful field, and a fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. There shall be then an abundant harvest of the souls. Isaiah 32:16-20. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of the righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of the righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in the sure dwellings, and in the quiet resting places, for it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Now, what have we learned from these two chapters of the Isaiah? Actually, we have had a summary of the subject which the previous chapters treated. Now, even more vividly than before, we see that the ancient Israel idolatry forced Yahweh to permit them to be ruled by the Assyrians. He is, however, well able for the delivering them when his people hear his plea and lay aside their idols, when they turn again unto the Yeshua, when this great revival and reformation called for in this chapter is finally effected. Thus it is that through the voice of the Yeshua shall the Assyrian be beaten down, that smote with the rod, Isaiah 30:31. Henceforth a king shall reign in the righteousness. This is antithetical David. Then the vile person and hypocrites shall be treated as such. In that day shall there be a great and glorious harvest of the soul. Now that we have plainly seen the time, the need, and the deliverance, let us, brother, sister, bring that day closer by the parting with all our idols and turning our hearts fully and unreservedly unto our Yahweh. End of number 33. This is, we'll continue on with the number, one of the timely readings, number 34. Entitled The Spoiler Spoils Taken by the Lame and the Weak. We have about 40 minutes remaining for this study. March 29, 1947, by the V.C. Holler. It says, for this subject is found in Isaiah 33. We shall begin our study with Isaiah 33:1. Woe unto thee that spoilest and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. Taking into the consideration what follows in this chapter, and in the next two chapters, for the chapter 34 and 35 are a part of the subject that is in chapter 33, where it becomes clear that the one on whom woe is pronounced is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, preceding the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua that takes place. Let's do it again. Woe is pronounced is upon the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the 11th parabolic hour from 1970 to 2003, preceding the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua that takes place in the next hour, the 12th hour, for the day in which the sinners of the Zion perish, the day in which the repentant ones are given their reward, is the day of the Yahshua's vengeance and the year of the recompenses for the controversy of the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, Isaiah 34:8. For the church is especially pointed out by the fact that, unlike the Old Testament church, she has been spoiled, but has not been spoiled. That she has been dealing treacherously, but she herself has not been so dealt with. Inspiration, however, goes on to forecast a reverse of the situation. It says, for the Seventh-day Adventist Church shall be spoiled and dealt with treacherously. For his, that would be Ezekiel 9, the five of men with slaughter weapons commanded to go to the city to destroy all old and young maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. For his faithful one in the midst of her, however, shall find grace where they plead. Isaiah 33:2. O Yahshua, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation. Also, in the time of trouble, this verse shows that while the pronouncement of the woe, Isaiah 33:1, is being made, at the same time a deep-rooted reformation is taking place among the Yahweh's truth-seeking people. They are privately, for they are praying, not for themselves alone, but for their brethren also, for they fully realize that they are approaching the time of the trouble, and that trouble we're in the beginning of it right now, and their hope lies in the fact that they have waited for the Yahshua, for the Yahweh's power, the Father, shall be felt throughout the earth. Isaiah 33:3. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. at the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. For this verse reveals that when the Yahweh manifests his power among his people, the world will feel the effects of that power. Isaiah 33:4. And your spoil shall be gathered by the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of the locust shall he run upon them. For the spoils which the church had acquired, he gathereth as the gathering of the caterpillar. Then it shall be said, Isaiah 33:5, for the Asher is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled, as now Zion at the 12th hour, the house of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, with Yahshua and this antitypical Elijah David, both joined together in the David's kingdom, antitypical kingdom. That's the everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44 and 45, and righteousness. Let's read that again, Isaiah 33:5. For the Asher is exalted, for he dwelleth on high in the heaven. He hath filled Mount Zion the 12th hour with the judgment and with the righteousness of the Asher, Jeremiah 23:5. I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And then Jeremiah 33:14-15-16. When these things take a place, then Zion, the church purified, will be filled with the judgment and righteousness. Moreover, Yahweh's faithful one have this assurance. Isaiah 33:6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of the salvation. For the fear of the Asher is his treasure. But concerning their unrepentant mighty ones, inspiration declares, Isaiah 33:7, behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of the peace shall weep bitterly. Here we see that these who are proclaiming peace rather than the day of the Yahshua shall weep bitterly, Isaiah 33:8. For the highways lies waiting. The wayfaring man ceases. He hath broken the covenant, he hath despised the city, he regardeth no man. In the language of the day, this verse would read, for the missionary roots lie waste. The missionary himself ceases. He has broken the contract. He hath despised the city. He regards no man. Isaiah 33:9. For the earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruit. For the nouns in this verse, being profoundly figurative and the time of the fulfillment yet future, we are unprepared for the making of any comments. Isaiah 33:10. Now will I arise, saith Yahshua. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. This is Yahshua the Son talking. At the time that the conditions here described materialized, then it is that the Yahshua will arise and be exalted and lifted up, and unto those that are at the fall, he forewarns. Isaiah 33:11. You shall conceive chaff, you shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as the fire shall devour you, turning unto the sinners and hypocrites among the people, those upon whom the woe of the verse 1 is actually pronounced. Yahweh reveals that the fruit of their doings shall be chaff and stubble, that their own breath shall devour them as if it were fire. Moreover, concerning their followers, he adds, Isaiah 33:12, and the people shall be as a burning of the lime, as the thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Having commenced his purifying work in Zion, he declared, Isaiah 33:13-14, hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might, for the sinners in the Zion are afraid. Okay, for the sinners in the Mount Zion, at the 11th hour, the Seventh-day Adventists, are afraid, for the faithfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Now these sinners in the Mount Zion at the 11th hour was the Gilead Sinner Commemoration from 1970 to 2002. And indeed, now the son and the daughter of the prophet Burles W. Johnson, named, his son was named Daniel, his associate, anointed pastor to be his associate, was with him for 32 years, and his wife, they both have died here in 2023 at the age of 75 and 76 years old. We have been separated for 20 years, and they never did come acknowledging me as having the truth separated us 20 years ago, and they both died in their sin. The son and the daughter that inherited the creation calendar from Burles Johnson got the keys to his kingdom, and yet they didn't do anything with them because they didn't know what to do with them. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? When the righteous judge rises for the sifting of the people, then the hypocrites will not be boasting that they are just as good a Christian as any. Neither will they say any more, we do not need more truth. Instead, fearfulness and surprise will overtake them. For their greatest and their most honorable question will then be, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? And there is the all-inclusive answer. And here is the all-inclusive answer. Isaiah 33:15-17. For he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of the oppression, that shaketh his hands from the holding of the bribes, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of the blood, and shutteth his eyes from the seeing of the evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of the defense shall be with the munitions of the rocks, for the bread shall be given him, and his waters shall be assured. For thine eyes shall see the king and his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off, passing from this expression of the divine terror and scene of the duty, they are the next toe. Isaiah 33:18. For thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Terrifying indeed is the realization that those who are found without the wedding garment, among whom are those who hold the highest church offices, secretary and treasurer, are cast out to weep and gnash their teeth with the remnant. Those who are left shall be exalted. Unto them the Yahshua said, Isaiah 33:19, thou shalt not see a fierce people as a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. For the guests who pass thy master's inspection are actually to be made great, be it in the comprehension of a deep speech, or be it in the understanding of a stammering tongue. None shall be greater than they, for the eyes of the faithful are next directed unto the city of the Yahweh. Isaiah 33:20, look upon the Mount Zion at the 12th hour as a city of our solemnity, for thine eyes shall see the Jerusalem, capital of Judah, as a quiet habitation, and as the everlasting kingdom of David as well, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down, for not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. After the troublemaker has been removed, then Yahweh's people will be seen to stand steadfast and sure, standing not even the slightest chance of ever being disturbed. And the saints shall be full of the joy, even now they exclaim, Isaiah 33:21-22, but there the glorious Yahshua will be unto us as a place of the broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with the oars, neither shall the gallant ship pass thereby. For the Yahshua is our judge, for the Yahshua is our lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, and the Yahshua is our king, he will save us. And I might add, for the Yahshua is also our Redeemer by his blood, Revelation 5:9-11. All these things shall be ours if we are but faithful unto the end. Again, addressing the church, the Seventh-day Adventist church that is approaching her end, of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, he declares, Isaiah 33:23, thy tacklings are loose, they could not well strengthen their mast, they could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided, for the Adventists are a very rich organization, by having holding billions of dollars. the Lamb takes the praise. It says, they that obey not the voice of the Yasher are here forewarned that the day is at the hand when they will find themselves unable any longer for the gathering of their spoil. Then it is that their spoil shall be divided, and the lame, as is seemingly weak and helpless, shall take the prey. Isaiah 33:24, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Okay. Just think, in a time while, if we be faithful, no longer with any no longer will any of us need to say, I am sick. Now, to review a few of the high points of our study upon the unfaithful who are approaching the great and dreadful day of the Yasher, for the Yahweh pronounces a curse for the Seventh-day Adventist Church of the 11th Kabbalah Hour, is Mount Zion at the 11th hour, is to be stripped of the spoil, all her wealth which she has acquired from all her taxpayers and all the government's money that they got from the government, the other billions of dollars, and is to be dealt with treacherously, just as she has dealt with others. Very obviously, at the time that this pronouncement is made, for a deep-rooted reformation is taking place among the Yahweh's truth, present truth-seeking people in the 12th Kabbalah Hour, the judgment of the living, the hardest time of this earth's history, for they recognize the fact that they are approaching the time of the trouble, Daniel 12:1, and like there has never been the like, and they are reassured that their steadily, although their stability and strength of the salvation are to be found in a wisdom and a knowledge in the Spirit and in the truth for the day. For the fear of the Yasher is to be their greatest treasure. And the Yahweh manifests his power among the people, even the world will feel the effects of it. Let's do it again. When the Yasher manifests his power among the people, for he is here present among them, here in the 12th Kabbalah Hour, he sat upon the throne of David, even the world will feel the effects of it. And that will be after probation, after the antitypical, the Pentecost takes place, when everybody is purified, but they can stand together with the Yahshua and the person, for the missionary route lies waste. Okay, it says, for the missionary himself ceases, for he regards no man. For the Yahweh reveals that the fruit of the sinners and the hypocrites among his people shall be the chaff and stubble, for their own breast shall devour them as if it were fire. Fearfulness and surprise shall overtake them. Then it is that the Mount Zion at the breath hour, the tribe of Judah, the everlasting kingdom of the David purified, is to be filled with the judgment and righteousness, for the Yahweh is at that time, for the Yahshua, the son of the Yahweh, is at that time to be exalted and lifted up, for the people who have walked uprightly shall be blessed with the divine terror, for their eyes shall see the King and his beauty. Brothers the purified church shall be steadfast and sure, never to be disturbed, for the spoil which the Seventh-day Adventist denomination has acquired, for the spoil which the Mount Zion dwells on, House of David, purified church has acquired, will be taken. Let's do that again. For the spoil of which the Seventh-day Adventist denomination has acquired will be taken by the land, by the Yahweh's true people, for they shall be forgiven their iniquities, and their health shall be restored. Their health shall be restored. It says, yes, the promise unto you is sure. Thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, for the glory of the Yahshua shall be thy reward. Isaiah 58:8. If you will but give heed unto this solemn warning and remain faithful unto it. Okay, this is the end of time of greeting, number 34. Continue on with time of greeting, volume 1, number 35 on this study. We have about 15 minutes left. The title of it is The Nations See Edom Perish. That's the house of Esau, a desert blossom, and a highway unto Zion. April 5th, 1947, by B.T. Harder. Our study for this afternoon is found in the Isaiah 34 and 35. Last week, you recall, we studied the 33rd chapter of the Yahshua's burden concerning the church as she approaches the time of the harvest in the 12th parabolic hour, of the time that the wheat is put into the barn and the tares burn, Matthew 13:30, for the time that the good fish are put into the vessels and the bad fish cast out, Matthew 13:47-9, as are those who have not the wedding garment on, Matthew 22:1-13. Continuing now into the 34th chapter, we there see that the Yahweh, as Yahshua, will smite the nations of the world for the drawing near and for the hearing of his mighty work of the refining, Isaiah 34:1-3. Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that came forth of it, for the indignation of the Yahshua is upon all the nations, and his fury upon all their armies, for he hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them unto the slaughter, for this slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. Why does those mountains are talking about those Protestant churches, and the Adventist is one of those seven churches that it's talking about? Okay, why does the Yahweh and light, then, or the Yahshua, the Son, with his presence here on earth, he invites the nations of all the earth to draw near and to hear, that they might consider his indignation against the wicked in his church, and know what to expect when his judgment spreads out among all the nations, that they might know what he expects when his refined work began among them, that they might therefore beforehand count the cost. For his judgment, he declares, is already pronounced upon the armies of the world, for the time is come that the judgments begin at the house of Yahweh, and that was started at the Passover 2002, 1 Peter 4:17. And with the instrument for the house, that was the angel of the candlestick of lead or seed, Brother Stonson, Isaiah 9:6, as the ancient man, and as it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, that is Hebrews 10:19-20. That's the new and living way of the New Testament. 1 Peter 4:17, Isaiah 34:4, and all the host of the heavens shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all the hosts shall fall down, as a leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a fallen fig tree from the fig tree. While verse 3 points out that the solemn events of this chapter take place in a day of the gigantic worldwide armament program, verses 4, being parallel with the Revelation 6:14, it reveals that they take place in the period of the sixth seal, in the days of the sitting of the 144,000 and the gathering of the innumerable multitude out of all nations. For the seal that we are now living in, the sixth seal, may overlap the seventh. Okay, so he had it right. He was the shepherd rod from 1930 to 1970, was definitely in the sixth seal. For the sixth seal ended with Brother W. Johnson in 2002 and 2003 at Termitation. It says Isaiah 34:5-11, for my sword shall be bathed in the heaven, behold, it shall come down upon the Idumea and upon the people of my curse unto the judgment. For the sword of the Yahshua is filled with the blood, it is made fat with the fatness and with the blood of the lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of the rams. For the Yahshua has a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Adonijah. The unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with the blood, and their best made fat with the fattest. For it is in the day of the Yahshua's vengeance, and the year of the recompenses for the controversy of the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, and the streams there shall be turned into the pitch, and the dust thereof into the brimstone, and the land thereof shall become the burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day, for the smoke thereof shall go up forever from the generation to generation. It shall lie waste, none shall pass through it forever and ever, but the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. For the owl also and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out upon it the lion, L-I-N-E, of the confusion, and the stones of the emptiness. for the immediate curse we see rests upon the Adamia, and typically speaking, it is the land of the antitypical Esau's. That would be the land of Edom, that is a symbol also of the tares and the house of Israel, Seventh Day Adventist Church, here in the 11th hour, when it showed up. Those who by the right should have kept the office when the antitypical Jacobites take away from them, that's the antitypical Jacobites, for they underestimate its value, that they, like the Esau of old, shift their rice for a dish of red pottage, as it were. For further study on the subject, see the Shepherd Rod Volume 1, page 52 to 111. And it says, Isaiah 34:12, they shall call the nobles thereof unto the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all her princesses shall be nothing. Evidently, after the destruction falls upon the Adamia, none of the so-called nobles shall be found there. In other words, the General Conference President, Ted Wilson, and all of his ministers that worked for him, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as the invaders and infiltrators, as the Jesuit order of the Catholic Church, and the participate in the action, as they had evidently. Let's read that again. Evidently, after the destruction falls upon the Adamia, okay, so Adamia in this case would be then the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist leadership, those Jesuits that have taken over the Adventist Church, none of her so-called nobles shall be found there to participate in the Exodus, Isaiah 11:11. Unto the antitypical kingdom, the church purified, and her princes shall be as nothing. Then it is that those who escape and enter into the kingdom are mostly from among the common people, those from the streets and the lanes, like Luke 14:15. 21, in the last solemn work, the few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and He cannot use them. Testimony for the Church, Volume 5, page 80. For only those who have withstood temptation and the strength of the Mighty One will be permitted, for the acting as a part in the proclaiming of the third angel's message with the fourth and fifth joined unto it in the 12th parable of God, when he shall have swelled and did a loud cry. L.G. White made that comment November 18th, 1908 in the Review and Herald, and I just clarified it more here in 2023, Isaiah 34:13-15. And there shall come up in her palaces nettles and brambles, and the fortresses thereof, and it shall be an habitation of the dragons, and a court for the owls, for the wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry unto his fellow, for the screech owl also shall rest there, and find for herself a place of the rest. There shall the great owl make her nest, and lay an hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her maid. For Yahweh does not forsake the earth, for Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, does not forsake the earth, for he does not forego his power, nor his interest in the present truth for the hour and the judgment of the living times. That's Revelation 8:1, the opening of the seventh seal. 2002, that's what took place down there. Opening of the seventh seal for the judgment of the living and for the harvest of this earth. He does not let the world go into the oblivion. What he does do, though, is make examples of some in order to have many others. For when the judgments of the Yahshua are upon the earth, let's do it again. For when the judgments of the Yahweh the Father are upon the earth, the inhabitants of the will learn righteousness. Isaiah 26:9. Is it the armament then that the nations of today need for peace and security? Is the atomic war to be their fear? What they need to fear is the sword of the Yahshua. For his sword shall be bathed in heaven. It shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of his church, and that's the seventh day of Israel. They need not fear anything if they fear the Yahshua. Let them make him their fear, their dread, and protection. Isaiah 8:13. See, he commands. So he commands. Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out of the book of the Yahshua and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered down. For the Yahweh here counsels us to search the Bible and to I implicitly believe that not one of the prophecies shall fail. No, not one shall fail to follow another in its turn. And why should we have this confidence? Because Yahweh himself has commanded, and because His spirit, not the wisdom of the efforts of men, has gathered into a single volume the writings of the prophets of old, the book of the Yahshua, the non-sectarian Bible as we know it today. This brings in our step this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Okay, let's go into finishing up this study of Timely Greetings number 35, entitled Highway to Zion. No, entitled Nations See Edom Perish, Desert Blossom, and a Highway unto Zion. We're going to finish up this study with a new take. Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis. This is the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. I was at the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. This is a new study, actually. We're going to continue on December 19th, 2023, RSC 7/20/27. As I said, this is the title of the sermon is Nations See Edom Perish, Desert Blossom, and a Highway to Zion. It's part two. It says Isaiah 34:17. And he has cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by the line. for they shall possess it forever from a generation to generation shall they dwell therein. Regardless whether we take this verse to say that the wild beast shall possess it forever, or whether we take it to say that those who seek out of the book of the Yahshua shall possess it forever. For our greatest concern must be to personally acquaint ourselves with the Yahshua and his present truth and the 12th Kabbalah hour if we would gain his favor and find a shelter in a time of trouble. Behold, a king shall reign in the righteousness, and princes shall rule in the judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of the water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 32:1-2. Now we shall go on into the 35th chapter of the Isaiah, which is but a continuation of the 34th, Isaiah 35:1. For the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. What a difference when the Yahshua manifests his power and purifies his church by his presence with his blood. When he comes down to this earth to take his place upon the throne of David, for he is to rule and to be the judge upon his throne. Lands of the Gentiles, the wilderness, and the land of the heathen, for the solitary place shall both be glad to see the Yahshua's holy people, finally as the Yahshua's present truth in the 12th parabolic hour for this time penetrates throughout the land, for there are no Christians at all, for the desert places shall blossom as the rose, so to speak, and thus yield an abundant harvest of the soul. Isaiah 35:2-4. For it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with the joy and singing, for the glory of the Lebanon shall be given unto it, for the ecstasy of the Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Yahshua and the ecstasy of our Yahweh. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Yahshua will come from the heaven with the vengeance, even the Yahshua with the recompense, for he will come and save you, his redeemed, his purified people, for this great commission and opportunity for the proclaiming of the Yahshua's soon coming vengeance are ours, for we must not fail to take advantage of these privileges with the mighty message for this time, for we must strengthen the weak, we must make firm the knees that are given out, those who are unable for the standing up and for the holding of their own must be strengthened, for we must reassure the fearful that the Yahweh is to come with the vengeance against the unbelieving and with the recompense for the faithful. Isaiah 35:5-6. And the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams of the truth in the desert. When these things take place, and it will be just as natural for the blind to see the dead, to hear the lame, to leap, and the dumb to sing, yes, as natural as blossoms are followed with the fruit of the obvious Yahshua's truth, present truth in the 12th parabolic hour, for this time is to spread everywhere and reap a great harvest of the souls. I saw just the light shining from the cities and villages and from the high places and the low places of the earth in the 12th parabolic hour, I might add. For the Yahweh's word was obeyed, and as a result, there were the memorials for him in every city and village, for his truth was proclaimed throughout the world. Testimony, Volume 9, Base 28, by the Ellen G. White. If but one soul saved from every city and village, there would be several times 144,000 living souls. And Isaiah 35:7, and the parched ground, the places that are now entirely devoid of the present truth in the 12th parabolic hour, shall become a pool, and a thirsty land, the land that thirsts for the Yahweh's present truth, Yahshua's present truth, springs of the water and the habitations of the dragon, where each lay shall be grass with the reeds and rushes. There shall be fruitage, as you see, everywhere the dragons lie. Isaiah 35:8. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of the holiness. None king shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those as the wayfaring, for the wayfaring men, though the fools shall not err therein. None shall be left in the wilderness, for there shall be a highway for all of the followers of the Yahweh's truth. Matters not what the fate will be. Illiterate or otherwise, they shall not err therein. Indeed, all the wheat shall be gathered and put into the barn, into the everlasting kingdom of the David. See track number 3, the judgment and the harvest. Isaiah 35:9. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall be found, it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Once the hypocrites are taken out, they shall not be allowed to return and to endanger the peace of the Yahweh's people. Only the redeemed shall wait on the highway of the holiness. And where does the highway lead? For the next verse gives the answer. Isaiah 35:10. And the ransom of the Yahshua shall return and come unto the Mount Zion at the 12th hour. And that's wherever that mountain is at, with the songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Yes, the highway leads unto the Mount Zion at the 12th hour. Mount Zion in the 12th parabolic hour, with the songs and everlasting joy, shall the redeemed enter therein, and evermore to sorrow or to sigh. For his tongue to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with the righteousness, and the people with his present truth. Psalms 96:13. Brother, sister, the sacrifices we may be called to make are as nothing in the comparison unto the privilege as they're heading for the Zion bound the highway of the holiness, ponder upon this, then that nothing deter you from the complying with the Yahweh's truth for this time, the day in which the nations see Edom perish and the desert blossom. Act now, while the kingdom of the Zion is in the preparation. For we all went under the tree and sat down to look at the glory of the place. When the brethren Fitch and Stockman, who had preached the gospel of the kingdom, was the present truth for their day, and whom the Yahweh had laid in the grave to save them, came up unto us and asked us what we had passed through while they were sleeping. We tried to call up our greatest trials, but they looked so small compared with the far more exceeding and eternal weight of the glory that surrounded us, that we could not speak them out, and we all cried out, Hallelujah, heaven is cheap enough. And we touched our glorious hearts and made heaven's arches to rim. Early writing, 37:10. This brings the end of our study for Tonogreen, Volume 1, Number 35.